Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. This is Willem Wellner speaking, and today it's my pleasure to present you our results for the first 6 months of the financial year 2017, together with my colleagues Olaf Borkers and Patrick Hiss, our head of IR. As usual, I would like to start with the operational business and the retail turnover on slide 2. As we have hinted to you in the last conference call concerning the Q1 numbers of 2017, the important Easter sale to a large extent took place in April, as Eastern was only on the weekend of April 14th to 17th, whereas Eastern 2016 was already in March. Therefore, the retailer's turnover in Q1 was comparably lower than in Q1 2016. Now, after 6 months, this effect is leveled out and a more meaningful qualitative comparison is possible. Starting with the top performers. In our German centers on a like-for-like basis, electronics plus 5.2%, services plus 5%, and catering plus 1% did rather well and improved the turnover. Especially for electronics, this is interesting and nice to see, as such segment has grown already in 2016 by 0.8%, and that in an environment with e-commerce as major influence factor to such segment. On the contrary, sports, minus 3.8%, and general retail, minus 3%, were the weakest group in the first half of the year, followed by shoes and leather goods with minus 2.3%. For your information, general retail, for example, includes bookstores, toys, household goods, and jewelry. Department stores improved in Q2 after a very weak first quarter in 2017 that was minus 5% for the first quarter and ended with now minus 1.4%. Our food and fashion tenants also had a slight decreasing turnover development of minus 1.1% and minus 1.5% respectively. Overall, on a like-for-like basis, the sales of our German tenants were slightly lower with 0.4%. However, in our portfolio, we could observe that our centers abroad in Austria, Hungary, and Poland showed a strong positive trend in retail sales that is a change of plus 3.6%. So for the overall portfolio, the like-for-like number is plus 0.4%. Looking at the total sales, we saw a change of plus 0.1% in Germany and a change of 4% abroad, which sums up to a total change of plus 0.8% for the portfolio. Finally, our rent-to-sales ratio for Germany stands at 9.1% after 9.3% at the end of the first quarter. Looking at frequency, they were stable in Germany, so no change in the first half, and we saw a nice increase in our centers abroad that was a plus 2.1%. So far, the operation. Let's start on page 3 with the profit and loss. Our results after 6 months look as expected. Revenues increased by 3.9% year-on-year, with a major effect coming from the acquisition of the Olympia Center in Brno. Property operating and management costs were slightly higher than in the first half of 2016 and grew in line with the expansion of the portfolio. They now stand at 10.5 million euro and are in line with our budgeted 9.9% of revenue. As a result, NOI increased by 4%. Other operating expenses were 0.2 million lower than in the previous year. The decrease came from some lower due diligence costs in respect of acquisition projects. In the prior year period, we were intensively working on Olympia Center and Zapak Center, and this is a reason for the deviation. As a result, EBIT increased to 92.5 million, which corresponds to a plus of 4.1%. Olympia Brno contributed 4.3 million to that number. Net finance costs of now 19.5 million euro were slightly lower, mainly to the improved at equity result. The at equity profit recognized in the net finance cost increased by 4.1 million, which was attributable in particular to the acquisition of the Zapak Center in Neunkirchen on October 1st, 2016. The new center contributed 2.7 million euro on the first half of 2017. In addition to this, interest expenses for other at equity accounted company fell by another 1.4 million euro, resulting from more favorable refinancing conditions that we could achieve in our negotiations with the banks. The interest expenses of group companies declined in total slightly by 0.2%. Here, lower interest costs due to loan repayments, improved interest rate conditions, as well as an interim and short-term interest rate agreement for one loan, were partly set off by the newly added interest expenses for the financing of the Olympia Center. Other financial income and expenses improved the financial results by another $500,000, which came from mainly from the measurement gains of one interest swap. So all in all, EBT, excluding measurement gains and losses, rose by 12.3% to now €73 million, in particular due to new acquisitions and lower financing costs. The valuation results consist of the investment costs of now €2.6 million for the first half. This number is €2.4 million lower than the first 6 months of 2016. Investment costs vary over time depending on their realization status for ongoing refurbishments and construction works. However, these investment costs are fully in line with our planning for this year. With cash taxes at €2.6 million, which are almost identical with the first 6 months 2016 number, and 11.6 deferred taxes, to be compared with €8.8 million, consolidated profit increased by 15.5 to €56.2 million. For our key figures, which you'll find on page 4, that means the following. FFO per share increased by 7.8% to €1.25 in the first 6 months, after €1.16 before. Earnings per share went up from 90 cents to 99 cents per share. That is a plus of 10%. And on an EPRA basis, the undiluted EPS increased from €1.11 to €1.20, a plus of 8.1%. You will find the detailed calculation of the FFO and the earnings per share on the slides 5 and 6. On page 7, we come to our balance sheet. The acquisition of the Olympus Center led to an increase of total assets of the Deutsche EuroShop Group by €441.4 million as at balance sheet date. This is mainly attributable to the investment properties, plus €375 million. Furthermore, a goodwill of €53.9 million was recognized, which results from the deferred tax liabilities, which we had to account for in the course of the acquisition of Olympia. Such deferred tax liabilities will not be recognized in the P&L due to the intention to keep the Olympia Center long-term in our portfolio, so the same that we have reported in Q1. Disregarding the acquisition of the Olympia Center, total assets grew in the first half of 2017 by €49 million. This was mainly attributable to the increase in cash and cash equivalents, and the change here was mainly due to the fact that the dividend payment for the financial year 2016 was only affected slightly after the reporting date as of 30th of June this year, whereas last year the dividend payment was affected just before the respective reporting date. In order to finance the equity required for the acquisition of the Olympia Center, a cash capital increase was carried out in March by utilizing some of the authorized capital. Deutsche EuroShop obtained €165 million before deduction of transaction cost of €1.54 million from the capital increase. The current and non-current financial liabilities of €1.65 billion were €204.2 million higher than the level at the end of 2016. This is also due to the initial consolidation of the Olympia Center and the raising of long-term loan of €130 million within the reporting period of this first half year. Non-current deferred tax liabilities increased by €65.9 million to now €425.2 million, as just stated, mainly due to the acquisition of the Olympia Center, but also resulting from the regular tax depreciation. Other short-term liabilities also increased compared to last year. The main reason for that is that they contain a liability of €81.8 million for the distribution of the dividend for the financial year 2016, which was, as just explained, effective just after the reporting date. After the consolidation of the Olympia Center, the equity ratio is now at a strong 51.7% and the LTV is now at 34.5%. Coming to the loan structure, which we have laid out on slide 8, here you see that the current interest rate for our 1.65 billion consolidated financial debt stays stable at 2.98%, at the same level after Q1. And the loans now have an interest duration of 5.4 years. For the loans in process of being refinanced this year, we have received good indications at the currently low interest rate level. On page 9, you will find, as usual, a more detailed overview about the maturities of our loan portfolio. You will see that we still have some potential to decrease our interest cost in the next years, assuming the interest rates in general will stay on or around their historically low levels, and as of today, we still expect that this will be the case. We now come to the bridges, starting on page 10. For the first 6 months of 2017, revenues were at 105.8 million euro. Out of this, 5.1 million came from the Olympia Center. As a small reminder here, as SAPAC Center is accounted for by the equity method, this effect is not visible here. Furthermore, as you can see, the standing assets saw a slight decrease of 1.1% or 1.1 million, which was mainly due to some lower releasing conditions in the current tough market environment, and the effect was roughly 800,000 euro, and some lower penalty payments from tenants, which accounted for another around 300,000 euro. Let's come to the financial result presented on page 11, and starting from the left. Interest expenses without Bruno were 1.1 million lower than in the last year's period, and as already mentioned, mainly due to the loan repayments and a short-term interest rate agreement on one loan, which is still in the process of being refinanced. The additional interest for Olympia was plus 900,000 euro. The valuation gain of a non-efficient interest swap, taken out in conjunction with the financings of our Altmark Gallery, contributed half a million to the improvement of the financial results, and the minority profit share increased compared to the previous half year by 400,000 euro. The equity result, excluding Saarpark, increased by 2.7 million, and the Saarpark Center itself contributed a further 2.6 million euro to that at equity result. Let's now move to the EBT bridge on the next page. As you can see, EBT moved up in total by 10.2 million to now 70.3 million euro. And also here, the difference in the valuation results contributed 2.4 million to the change, and the additional valuation gain of the just described non-efficient interest drop contributed another 0.7 million euro. Olympia Bruno, 3.4 million, the Saarpark Center, a further 2.4, and the remainder accounted for 1.3 million euro. Last but not least, you will find the profit bridge on page 30. Profit after tax increased by 7.5 million euro to 56.2 million euro. Here again, following the same explanation, valuation after tax contributed 1.7 million to the change, the swap 600,000 euro, Olympia Bruno 2.8 million, the SAPAC Center 2.1, and the remainder accounted for 300,000 euro. These were the bridges for the first 6 months of 2017. For the guidance, please follow me on slide 16. Here you can see that our guidance for the financial year 2017 is unchanged. As all of our major figures are so far in line on the basis of today's information, we can confirm our guidance for 2017, where we forecast the following. Revenues between 216 and 220 million euro, earnings before interest and tax of between 187 and 191 million euro, earnings before tax, excluding measurement gains and losses, between 145 and 148 million euro, and funds from operation between 140 and 143 million euro, or 2 euro 42 or 2 euro 46 per share, under the assumption that the convertible bond will be fully converted at the end of its term, mid-November 2017. In 2018, the acquisition of the Olympia Center will contribute to the consolidated revenue for a full year for the first time, and we expect the consolidated revenue should come out with a range of 220 to 224 million euro. And for 2018, we are then expecting an EBIT in a range of 193 to 197 million euro and an EBT between 154 and 157 million euro. For your information, the average time-weighted number of shares assuming full conversion will increase then for 2018 to 61.8 million. And we expect the corresponding FFO per share between €2.35 and €2.39 in 2018 on a per share basis. In absolute terms, FFO should increase by 3.5% to a range of 145 to 148 million euro. Finally, some words about the outlook on the next page. In July, we just paid out a dividend of €1.40 per share, or a total of 81.8 million euro to our shareholders for 2016, and our guidance should well enable us to earn and propose a dividend of €1.45 per share for 2017. We're a bit cautiously looking at the further development of the leasing market in Germany, which stays tough. On the other hand, we continue to work on the optimization of the credit portfolio, seeing some good potential here to improve the financing cost. The investment market is rather hot, with a still high overdemand for shopping centers, not only in Germany. We see no real cooling down here in the near term. However, our feeling, which is of course not scientific, but our feeling is that the yield compression is slowing down and deals take longer. We are very selectively analyzing sales offers if and as they come to the market, but supply for shopping centers, at least in Germany, is rather limited at the moment. But we'll stay cautious looking at quality and pricing. So far my presentation. Thank you for listening, and I'm happy to take your questions now.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we'll begin the question and answer session. The first question comes from the line of André Remke of Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. So, a number of questions. Starting with the revenue decline you mentioned for the standing assets, 1.1% for the first half. Is this a ballpark number which we can expect or which we should expect also going forward given the current leasing market environment? This is the first question.
I mean, we have seen it now for the first time for the standing assets, and we have had some effects which you, I'm sure, followed also the press, that especially in the textile and fashion segment, there were some insolvencies and some retailers having the issues and problems, and still sorting themselves out in their way to become from a pure stationary retailer to a multi-channel retailer. So this environment, we also have seen those effects, and it's really hard to judge going forward for the next one, two, 3 years what will be the overall effect. But for the time being, is that what we see, and we have some special cases here, and I've mentioned the insolvency cases you have seen also in the press, or some who really dramatically want to decrease their number of shops. So it's nothing dramatic, but something that we closely need to follow going forward. But we also don't have a crystal ball seeing how much that effect will go on forward. Yeah.
But do you also already see some vacant space there due to these old insolvencies in your centers?
No, we are still around our 1% looking at our retail space, and this is so far being the case, and we are most of the time, then, if we have a vacant space, we'd rather lease it out properly to a little lower rent than keeping it empty for long term and hoping for the next tenant to sign up much higher leases. Of course, this is always a very detailed discussion and then decision at the end. But so far, we haven't seen any visible increase in vacancy.
And can you give us a ballpark number for the reduced rent? What does it mean in percentage points to the previous rents?
Yeah, if you take the 800,000 and we have roughly 100 million in rent, so it's 105 million, so it's a little less than 0.8% for the first half of this year.
Yeah, but this is in total, so you renegotiated rents on an individual basis, and what is the reduction asked by the tenants? Is it 10% or what is the number here?
Oh, no, that's very different. You can say that on average. We have even increasing rents. Yeah, we just nicely released last year our center in Klagenfurt, and we could see a very nice uplift. Of course, this is in the equity result. So there is no general rule saying that it's on average X percent. Sometimes we see some higher numbers, for example, in an insolvency case, which was a large textile department store that we have in Germany was a little above, but there is no general rule. It's really each individually negotiated and sometimes uplift, sometimes a small downlift. On average for the first half year, it's 0.8%.
And from today's perspective, what do you think could be a potential outcome for the valuation of your portfolio? We saw in the first half the recorded yield observations by the real estate brokers with an unchanged yield. So would you expect also here, and given what you said before, more pressure on the portfolio valuation? I know it's very early in the year, but what is your best guess at the moment?
I mean, we're talking to the agents also. If we look into potential acquisitions and what we hear from them verbally is that they still see still increasing prices, that is slightly lower yields. And of course, this is also not a scientific work. It's more than the world they see. And there were the bits where we have been looking into, or the asking prices, we could even see this small effect. So on the yields, also our stomach feeling, if we look into the market, we still see a slight yield compression, but not as much as in the last 2 years, which means that if we have a very slightly lower rents, we wouldn't expect a negative impact on our valuation too much. But you're saying it's rather early in the year.
Okay, thanks for that update. Last question regarding your center in Gdansk. Any update here on the expansion plans?
Yes, a very good one, but at the end still it's delayed, as you know, and we have been meeting there 2 years ago with our investor conference, and we were quite positive. In the meantime, we had some water in the center, and there was a small flooding, and this stopped the whole building permit procedure a little bit, especially on the water permit side. But luckily, 2 months ago, roughly, or 6 weeks ago, we got the water permit and can restart now the full building permit process. So we're positive that we're going to go forward, but it's the delay was at least one and a half years coming out of that in total. Now, market perception is still good, but this is development business, which is not unusual. We're not really losing money there because we don't have invested too much and the plots are ours, but we have to wait a little longer here. It's too early to come up with a new, more precise time plan because we don't want to be over precise in that very complicated building process.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's from my side.
The next question comes from the line of Kai Klose of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, sir. I also have a question on the negative rent for the standing assets. You mentioned that you don't have a crystal ball, but could you indicate what was the tenant's response so far when you were marketing the empty space?
Yeah, we usually don't have empty space. Yeah, with 1% vacancy, it's really as low as you could get. So what we did I misunderstand the question?
No, I was saying what was the response from tenants for the space to be relet, which is going to be vacated after insolvency?
Yeah, I mean, with some left, of course, the centers, and of course, with some we found agreements, sometimes at a little lower rent, but sometimes we thought it's good to have this brand or tenant or names or offer in the centers. So as we still have a very low vacancy rate, which is around 1%, so we either found an agreement or we have replaced them. And the overall effect is sometimes at lower rent, sometimes at the same rent, sometimes at better rent. And that's very difficult. I mean, we have 2,700 lease agreements, and roughly 10% at least are renegotiated every year. So the overall effect on these 270 on average lease agreements to describe in general rules is rather difficult. Yeah, but the perception is we have released them. We don't have increased vacancy visible, and we have a slight lower rent income on the standing assets on average.
Okay, and on page 3, you mentioned that the market environment in Germany is very challenging. Could you elaborate a bit more on that? What do you mean? What do you mean in particular on that? Is it on the reletting side? Is it on the lease duration side? Or is it specifically on for smaller malls? Maybe you could a bit more precise on that.
Yeah, I think it's on average that the especially we are 50%. You could call tenancy or fashion dependent, and especially this segment is very tough for the retailers at the moment. So the expansions expansion plans are more, let's say, reluctant at the moment, and also to extend the lease terms. So sometimes it means they just want to extend for 5 or 7 years. Sometimes it means a little lower rent, sometimes a higher. Yeah, I need to mention that. But sometimes they look more on ancillary costs. So it's a whole variety, a basket of issues you're talking about with the tenants, and they are sensitive on some of the issues depending on their individual situation. We don't have centers where you have, for example, the smaller ones with 10% vacancy and the bigger ones are fully occupied, so that on average we have 1% vacancy. So we still see that all of our centers are at least, let's say, 96% occupied, and the other ones we have. Yeah, that means in a big shopping center with 4% vacancy that you probably have 3 or 4 spaces that you have to relate. And usually those are the spaces that are the more difficult ones, under the stairs or in a little hidden place. So there's also no general division in the portfolio. Yeah, so it's a little bit of everything, and of course depending on let's say the frequency and the performance of the center, it's a bit more or it's even less. Yeah, like in Klagenfurt, for example. A very nice example that we just have released. You wouldn't have to compromise on anything. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Thomas Effler, Oddo BHF. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sirs. I've got a question regarding your split retail sectors. Kind of in H1, is it kind of a trend you also see now in the Q3 current Q3 quarter, with electronics strong and the retailers the fashion retailers more weak? And the second question regarding your Olympia Center, so far are you happy with the investment with the lease contracts and?
Yeah, let me start with the last one with Olympia. Yeah, we are very happy. We find exactly the rent we were expecting and have due diligence, of course. We have had our first more intensive talks now going there. And we are very positive, and especially if you look at the positive turnover development numbers that you have seen for our centers abroad. They're all positive, but a good contribution is coming from Olympia Center. So this is the soil for future good performance of the center. So yes, we are absolutely happy. We have found no negative surprises afterwards, and you see the contribution is just as we have tried to forecast it as precise as possible, and we are happy with those numbers. With the performance on page 3, I think we have tried to outline to you over the last quarter that it's very difficult to judge quarter by quarter, and one would have to look at longer time series. Of course, it's important to look quarter by quarter, but to be honest, we were a little surprised that electronics came in so strong after they have been punished, being, besides textile, the most, let's say, attacked from e-commerce. showing such strong numbers. Yeah, we know that services and food is running well, and for the fashion part, I mean, at least in the northern part of Germany, the second quarter wasn't very nice looking at the weather, and this shouldn't sound like an excuse, but as a fact, that could have been the impact. So if we see a nice autumn, those numbers could potentially increase again. If you look at the top line, the department stores, and they're in the press everywhere, and not only in the U.S., and it's now coming over a little bit to Europe, the discussion with Hudson Bay and, of course, Kaufhof. I mean, we see the department stores losing slightly over time, even though they have improved here in the second quarter. But here, potentially, we should mention that we only have 4 department stores in our 21 shopping centers. 3 of them we only own. One is there as special ownership rights by some other investors. And we, of course, in some places happy to still have them, but the dependency is not so big. But here you see a trend. I would expect that for the traditional pure department stores to look like that over the next period.
And from the electronics side, I mean, are the tenants kind of asking for more space, or is it still kind of more consolidation process in this area?
If you look over the last 2-3 years, there was a tendency that they would want to reduce space, the electronics, mm-hmm. electronics player, but then they have stopped it in the middle as a general statement. Yeah, here or there, in a specific shopping center, sometimes they reduce the space, but on general, I would say they have stopped to reduce it, but allocate the space to different purposes. Probably if you go to a big Saturn or MediaMarkt, you will find nowadays special areas at the entrance where the pickup zone is for the stuff that you have bought online, for example, or the service zones, because nobody wants to go into a huge MediaMarkt with his new smartphone, run another, I don't know, 100 meters to the next guy who's working on that smartphone and explaining to you or providing some services. So they have reallocated some of the space to the pickup zones, to the service zones, and this is good to observe. And what they also observe in general is, and this is not true only, or let's say this is not a specific thing for electronics, but we hear from the first retailers that they find out that their online turnover is better in areas where they own shops, because also people tend to go look at things, and then they today could go home and buy it online, and they still buy it potentially at the stationary retailer and have it sent home or being picked up at the shopping center. Yeah, so this could be also an effect. It's a bit guessing, but I think these are the trends we are seeing. It's a strong number for the first half year. Let's hope that it continues to go so, but you wouldn't expect it if you look just at the discussions and the headlines, what's going on with e-commerce and electronics and so on.
Okay. So just follow up on the last one. Do we have already requirements from pure online players who are asking for space for kind of what you mentioned to pick up stores or kind of, is that already a topic or not yet?
Yes, we have some players. They are potentially not the big names yet, but what you see is if you follow the larger trend, I mean, e-commerce all started at the very beginning with the bookstores. Yeah, and many bookstores, some changed even went bankrupt in Germany, like Welt did. Yeah, but there are other ones that are performing now better because they pick up the market share of those players that have left the market. And now what's happening, Amazon is opening bookstores. Yeah, yeah. They have announced to open hundreds of bookstores, which is a little ironical. Yeah, we find other players who think, we always have this nice example of MyMuesli, a pure online player. High-end special groceries or cereals or so, and they now heavily go offline because they think they can grab more from the market if they are on and offline. That is multi-channel. Yeah, and then there are other players in the market not looking at e-commerce, but there was just an announcement that Tesla is now not only meeting mall space in one shopping center in Hamburg, but also the shop. Yeah, and we've been looking into another shopping center which is on the market at the moment. It's a very early stage, so I don't want to confuse you, but we have been looking into that, and they're even discussing that there are 2 high-end stores for 2 big brands, automotive brands, that want to sell their cars in a shopping center. And Opel announced the same yesterday. So there are many, many trends going on that online also goes offline, And I mean, there's another example that Amazon bought a big grocery, high-end bio grocery store chain. So you see they go offline and others go online. They all have now their e-commerce strategy. And this is a transition phase which is a little more uncertain for the next 2, 3, 4 years, I would expect. But still, we feel good positioned there.
Yeah, very good. Thank you very much.
Again, to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. There are no further questions at this time. I hand back to Mr. Werner for closing comments.
Yeah, then thank you very much for listening and your questions. I hope we could answer them well enough. I wish you, to whom of you still have holidays in front of you, that you have nice holidays, and hear you then either in the Q3 call a little later in the year, or I hope to see some or a lot of you not so long time in Brno, where we have our investor conference beginning of September. Yeah, thank you very much and goodbye.